Well, good morning. We're busy with a series I've entitled Jesus is Lord. And I'm busy reminding us of a vital message I quoted a few years ago when I told you of the statement made famous by the great missionary Hudson Taylor. He said, "Jesus is either Lord at all or is not Lord at all." Over the next few weeks, I'm going to look at this statement in my final sermon in the series. I'm going to ask the question, so what? You know, I've managed to convince you of the significance of this quote by Hudson Taylor. What are the implications? Let's have a word of prayer. Lord, as we think of this vital subject of your lordship, again, I pray, Lord, that you would reveal that lordship. I can talk about it, but only you can declare it and convince people of it. So you do your work, Lord. Speak into our hearts, we pray in Jesus' name. Last week I asked the question, what will it take to realize that Jesus is Lord of all? And we looked at Acts chapter 10. In that we saw that for Peter it took a vision from heaven to realize that Jesus is Lord of all. For Cornelius, it took being introduced to Jesus. For those with Peter from Joppa, it took the image of the coming of the Holy Spirit. And I ended my message reminding us that perhaps God has sent the pandemic to point us to Him. And if that doesn't point us to Him, something worse may come. So today I want to ask and look at the subject of why I preach that Jesus is Lord. I want to look at five reasons why I preach that Jesus is Lord. First of all, I preach Jesus is Lord because the Bible declares Him to be Lord. The title Lord belongs to God. Did you know that title appears 6,700 times in the Bible, approximately, depending on the translation? While the biblical words for Lord mean sovereign or master, the title only refers to human sovereigns or masters about 500 times. The other 6,000, friends, belong to Yahweh or to Jesus. One of the principles of understanding the Bible, we call it hermeneutics or interpreting the Bible, is don't build your beliefs on things not often spoken about. So build your beliefs on what is repeated often. Friends, the phrase, the Lord, refers to the name of God we know as Yahweh, and it appears 5,524 times, depending on your translation. This is the NIV. The phrase the Lord refers to the Lord Jesus Christ appears over 500 times in the New Testament. May not always say the Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes it says the Lord Jesus. Sometimes it just says the Lord. But they're referring to the Lord Jesus Christ. So friends, of the 6,700, almost 6,000 belong to either Yahweh or the Lord Jesus Christ. Man, if that's not convincing, I don't know what is. But not only does the Bible do that, it also tells us that the phrase something or something is Lord only appears 11 times in scriptures, friends. This is the Lord. It appears twice in Genesis 42 and verse 30, it says, the man who is Lord over the land. And verse 33, it says, the man who is the Lord over the land. But it's really not intrinsic as to who is Lord. But the other nine all point to Jesus, every single one of them. Acts chapter 12, verse 8. For the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. Mark chapter 2, same thing. The Son of Man is Lord. Acts chapter 6, Jesus said to them, the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. Acts chapter 10, verse 36. You know the message God spoke to the people of Israel, telling the good news of the peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord. Romans chapter 10. If you confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart. Romans chapter 10, verse 12. There is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 3. Therefore I tell you that no one who speaks by the Spirit of God says Jesus is cursed, and nobody can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Philippians chapter 2, verse 11. Every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And in Revelation chapter 17, verse 14, they will make war against the Lamb, but the Lamb will overcome because he is Lord of lords. Friends, like Hudson Taylor said, Christ is either Lord or not at all. The Bible's very clear, friends. The Bible is very clear. It only connects Jesus and Lord with the phrase is. Nobody else is given that title except Jesus. Billy Graham, the great evangelist, also had a famous saying. He used to say, God said it, I believe it, that settles it. So friends, why do I preach Jesus is Lord? Simply this, the Bible declares him Lord. The second reason I preach Jesus is Lord is because the Bible spoke of his lordship prophetically. Friends, mostly when we speak of prophecy, we're forth-telling. We're telling something about what is happening. But there are occasions in the Bible when it's prophesying about something in the future. So how do we know that? Well, friends, David spoke about the lordship of Jesus. Friends, this is, you know, hundreds of years before Jesus even walked the face of this earth. One day Jesus was having a discussion with the Jewish authorities. We read it about it in Mark chapter 12, verse 35. It says this, while Jesus was teaching in the temple courts, he asked, how is it that the teachers of the law say that the Christ is the Son of God, the Son of David, when David himself, speaking by the Holy Spirit, declared, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I put your enemies under your feet. David himself calls him Lord. How then can he be his son? The crowd listened to him with delight. You see, friends, the Jewish leaders believed the Messiah would be a human king, a king like David. They were looking for a political liberator. But friends, Jesus came to show them that David could not be pointing like somebody to himself. Because he said in the psalm, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand. Friend, if David said the Lord said to my Lord, he couldn't be talking about himself. He must or was prophesying about Jesus. Not only does David prophesy about Jesus, friends, but the angels prophesied about Jesus. At the birth of Jesus, we read this story. Now, all of us, when our children are born, you know, think that our children are going to be, you know, whoever. They're going to be the most important person who ever walked the face of this earth. But at the birth of Jesus, the angels come and say this, and there were angels living out in the field, shepherds living out in the field nearby, keeping watch over the flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. They were terrified, but the angel said to him, don't be afraid, I'm bringing you good news of great joy. That'll be for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You'll find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Friends, the angels were pointing to Jesus. They have pointed to Jesus, friends, all of their lives. Friends, let's never lose sight of that. The angels knew what Jesus would become. And so, friends, the shepherds found Jesus in the same way that the angel prophesied who he was like. But more importantly, friends, Jesus grew up to be who the angels said he would be. So the first two reasons I preach Jesus is Lord is because the Bible declares him to be so, and the Bible speaks of his lordship prophetically for thousands of years before he even walked the face of this earth. It spoke about him being Lord. The third reason I preach Jesus is Lord, friends, because his lordship overrides the creation order and the law. Friends, Jesus is the agent of creation. Let's not lose sight of that. At the end of the creation account in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 23, where we're told God created this on the first day and that on the second day and that on the third day, then in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 4 it says, this is the account of the heavens and the earth when they were created, when the Lord God made the heavens and earth. Later we read in Colossians chapter 1 verse 16, he says, for by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. Friends, he's Lord of creation. There is nothing in creation that does not submit to his rule. But friends, Jesus is Lord over the law as well. The first commandment given to govern our earthly life relates to the Sabbath. The first four relate to our divine relationship, but the fifth one and the last six relate to our human relationship, what happens on us on earth. And we read this in Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 to 11. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you should do no work, neither you nor your son nor your servant, your maidservant or your manservant, nor your animals, nor the alien within. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that is in them, and he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath and made it holy." You see, friends, captured in the Sabbath are both creation and the law. Because, friends, on the seventh day he rested, but on the seventh day it's a day to be given to the Lord. But this is what you read. Every gospel, friends, except John's gospel, declares the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. The Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. The Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. In saying that Jesus is Lord of the Sabbath, he is declaring himself to be Lord over creation and Lord over the law. So why do I preach Jesus as Lord? Because, friends, the Bible declares him to be Lord. Because the Bible speaks prophetically of his lordship, and his lordship overrides creation, order, and the law. Reason number four. I preach Jesus is Lord because, friends, his lordship gives him power to save. Friends, Romans chapter 9 reminds us, if you confess with your mouth, just three words, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Friends, nobody or nothing can save you other than Jesus. Peter makes that point on the occasion when he and John were before the Sanhedrin in Acts chapter 4. It says this, "Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers and elders of the people," he probably would have called them my lords, "if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a crippled man and asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel. It is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. Jesus is the stone you builders rejected, has become the capstone. Friends, salvation, here they say, is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which they are being saved." Friends, he's trying to make the point. Call Jesus Lord. He is the only one who is Lord. I preach Jesus as Lord, friends, because there is no other name under heaven or earth given to men by which we must be saved. So far we've learned, I preach Jesus as Lord because the Bible declares him to be Lord, because the Bible spoke of his lordship prophetically, because the lordship, his lordship overrides creation, order, and the law, and because his lordship gives him the power to save. Finally, friends, I preach Jesus is Lord because the day is coming when everybody else will also do so. Friends, we're reminded, 1 Corinthians chapter 10 says this, "Therefore I tell you that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus be cursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit." But Philippians makes it the clearest. Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10, it says, "Therefore, God exalted Christ to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every other name, that at the name of Jesus every knee will bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God." Why do I preach Jesus is Lord? Because, friends, the day is coming when everybody else will have to do it. Why? Revelation 17 verse 14 says this, "They'll make war against the Lamb, but the Lamb will overcome because he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and with him will be his called, chosen, and faithful followers." Why do I preach Jesus as Lord? Because the Bible declares him to be Lord. Because the Bible spoke of his lordship prophetically. Because his lordship overrides creation, order, and the law. Because his lordship gives him power to save. Because, friends, the day is coming when everybody else will also do so. This last week we heard what the matric results were like. Well, I'm proud to say that the district that our school is a part of is the best district in the Eastern Cape area. Quite proud that even little Telios, we were commended for what we were doing. What's a good pass mark, you may ask? What's a good pass mark? Well, 50% is a pass. Of course, 90% is great, wouldn't it be? We're proud of our own matrics here in our own church. You've done very well. But let me ask you, friends, what's a good pass mark in a relationship? If I, as a spouse, say to my spouse, "Well, I'm 95% faithful to you," is that a pass mark? Do you think she'll keep me if I'm 95% faithful? I bet you're not, friends. Friends, why do I preach Jesus as Lord? Because there is no such thing as part-time loyalty to Jesus Christ. He can't be 50% Lord, friends. He can't be 95% Lord. He is either Lord or he's not. Let's pray. Lord, help us to preach your lordship wherever we go. You are Lord, Lord. We don't have to make you Lord. All we need to do is declare your lordship. Give us the boldness to proclaim your lordship wherever we go to your glory. In Jesus' name we pray that. Amen. Friends, Jesus is Lord.